Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what we didn't talk about?
What?
How some fans think Eric really died. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton, my pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret, my pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today we'll be issuing corrections for our cycle of episodes relating to Season 1, Episode 3. Alright, we don't really have a disclaimer for this episode because it's just kind of tacked on to our cycle. So,
yeah.
yeah. So, this is going to be a bit of a bummer opener, and that's an understatement. Our friend of the show, Amy, she only had one DM for this time around. It was she was commenting how she loved our Eric the Dead episode, and she said she loved my comment about how the fandom might stand Eric so much because the bar is so phenomenally low. Which, glad it's going over well, because I really, when I say stuff like that about Eric, I never know how it's going to go over.
That's valid.
Yeah. And she ended with this question that, like, caught me off guard, honestly. Also, wondering why you chose not to engage in the rampant fan theory that Eric committed suicide.
I'm going to be honest, I've never heard that fan theory until I read your notes.
Exactly. Me too. And like, that's what I said. I was like, honestly, I've never heard that theory before. Like, I never personally consider it, so we didn't bring it up. And I was like, I might bring it up in the float because we're recording it today. There is a infinitesimal chance that it's plausible, but it's just never the reading I got. And I never had seen anything on Tumblr or anything like that was like bringing this up as a,
yeah,
as like any even possible fan in, but I don't know, because I don't know, we see Eric in this episode and like he doesn't seem depressed to me, and it's not like you have to seem depressed in order to unalive right. yourself, but
yeah,
it's like it would have to be a super impulsive decision, and that does not strike me as an Eric, like, Wilhelm is the impulsive one. Like, Eric is the one who
right.
Seems to be pretty reasonable in terms of, like, it has been made a priority for him as the Crown Prince to, like, be rational in his decisions and, like, yeah. understand the ramifications of everything he does. And, like, not to say that doesn't come with its own insane pressures.
For sure.
But it's, like, I think he is just a reckless driver.
Yeah.
And like you can be a reckless driver without having suicidal ideation.
Correct.
And that is kind of, I think, firmly both of our stances, is that like Eric had a reckless streak, but it wasn't
because I don't think it was to that level.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I'm going to love tagging a bonus episode with a suicide trigger warning.
Fuck. My earbud just fell out of my ear.
We love you, Amy, but it's kind of funny that like that's going to have to happen.
I'm trying to think if I can read any of his last conversation with Wilhelm like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is when he says people are going to start caring about you or the things that you do soon.
Yeah.
But I always read that more as like a coming of age thing.
Yes. Like I always, because like he's,
I'm dying. Like,
because I think it's like as you get older, as has already happened, the public is going to take more notice of you.
Right.
like it does seem like, especially the way everything is set up, and like even the way we can see in our real life with royals, like, I mean, that's not to say that young royals are not, doesn't have a lot of attention on them, but like in terms of like their personal lives and everything, like, and like the,
yeah,
yeah, like the ways in which as royals get older, the press treats them, their lives with like more and more impunity, mm-hmm. in terms of like how much is up for grabs.
Yeah.
Like that you wouldn't go into like a elementary school age prince's like school and try to find out what his grades are. But
right.
When they get to college age,
that's you fair might... game. It's like, hey, they have a 2.0.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't know. I pulled that out of my
ass. They're cheating on their chemistry exam, etc. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, a bit of a bumper opener, but I think we've both kind of stated our stance on that. All right. Next, I believe this person sent us something last cycle. They sent us quite a bit this time, or at least more than they did, and I think some of the stuff that Yonta that you sent us is I hope I'm saying that right. Some of it does relate to later episodes and later seasons, and because of the nature of Flots, we're only going to talk about the stuff that like relates to this episode. I think it is this. I mean, a lot of it either pertains to this episode or like is going to be important going forward. The first thing I want to talk about is, this is going to get super technical, and I'm going to try to not bog us down too much, because like I was given a lot of information. I'm really trying to summarize it and put my whole English major ussy into turn making this as short as possible. Sorry. It was right there, and I like, I like I said it without
you to say.
I was. It was right there, and I like couldn't stop myself.
I was expecting like putting my whole chest into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you to attack on.
Gonna give it my. Gonna give it my all. How about that? So basically, there is like a legal construction that I've been in, that we've been made in for, and we've been made aware of. Or we've been informed of, that's called a fideicommissum or FC charter, which essentially treats a property that would be held by a member of the nobility as a kingdom unto itself.
That's crazy.
In the sense that you can't just sell part of it away.
That's bizarre.
And this is all based on kind of hearsay or like kind of estimations of like the way Ornas is described throughout the series, including lines that like haven't been said about, haven't been talked about yet, and so we're not gonna discuss them here. But like even what we have here, there is a sense of like a possibility, given how old the property is, that it would have fallen under this jurisdiction. And like they're like there are multiple FC charters currently in Sweden that are from the exact year that August cites as like Ornas being founded.
I don't understand anything about finances or anything like that. Is there any reason for this that isn't classist?
Well, it's apparently gotten less classist over time, because like in the early 20th century, Sweden ruled that you could no longer create a new FC charter. In 1963, that was in 1905, and then in 1963, it was ruled that there would no more FCs would be passed on to the next generation without formal government approval. So I guess clearly like August has achieved the age of majority. So like presumably it has been passed down to him. Like that's like what that's in this episode. Like he talks about his plans. But like something that Yonte says is that like plans that August lays out here actually make a lot of financial sense, because while you can't sell off any part of an FC, if you can actually August talks about going into agribusiness, like if you can use the yield and sell off this property that like can't be sold away and like is kind of frozen, like a frozen asset. Mm-hmm. If you use it to make money, you can use it to make a lot of money because it's very sought after land, right. And very valuable land. But the kind
so
of,
are we talking like growing plants and stuff on it and selling that kind of stuff?
Yes,
like you can
yes.
use so, it to make money. You just can't sell the actual physical plots.
Yes, you can. Gotcha. Yeah, you can like farm on it and stuff like that, and like sell off the yield. But you can't like section it off necessarily and gotcha. Be like, you can have this many acres and stuff like that. And like something that Yonta doesn't present as a possibility that like I wanted to present as kind of devil's advocate for this, like even considering the possibility that like Ornas is an FC charter, mm-hmm. is that like maybe not everything there is legally a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this charter was created in like 17 blah blah blah, like 1768 I think, like not every single piece of art there, or maybe not even all the land,
right,
was purchased in 1768 and is like part of the charter.
Yeah.
And so like when Louise says like there's land and art at Ornas, I think she's not necessarily presenting selling off all of Ornas.
Yeah.
But there might be parts that mm-hmm. are going to be worth money and can be sold off to collectors to bring in cash.
Yeah.
And like that's I think where the possibility like the element of pride comes in. And then another thing I didn't write down that there's a possibility of it is like Yonta compares FC charters to trusts in the sense that like there could be a certain age at which it like legally becomes yours.
Mm.
And not all trusts switch over at the age of majority.
Right.
Some of them are like at 21, some of them are at like 25. Like it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And considering historically how that inheritance would go, the age of majority for a lot of inheritances, I mean, I'd mostly have context for this in the British system, but like I'm assuming it's probably similar across Europe, is that it would be 21.
Okay.
Source, Great Expectations by Charles Dickens, in which his Great Expectations / his inheritance is only achieved at 21, or received at 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, and like, also like historically, after you left boarding school, you would be going to one of the major universities, and you would really only be achieving like full adulthood when you leave university and enter your profession. So like with how forward thinking August is, like it is possible that like he's talking about an eventuality that like won't be here for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the thing to keep, this is a super technical and I don't want to spend much more time on this, but like there's something to consider going forward is that like if for whatever reason like August is like confronted about selling stuff or like starts considering selling stuff, he might legally be unable to.
Mm-hmm.
Or like would be breaking the law if he did.
One thing that you also have in your notes is, wouldn't his mother know that?
Yeah. Which is something that like Yonta is confused about, and like we never really came up with a conclusion. She married into the family, obviously, and apparently it's like, I mean, like there's a possibility that not even members of the royal family would know something this ancient and arcane when it comes to like economic law. So like she could just not know, but like Yonta's question is like, why did she never question that she never really received an inheritance after her husband died?
Right.
because she legally wouldn't, because it only passes the firstborn son and only him, which actually does sound like the situation that's happening. And also is probably part of the reason why I would say like that might be part of the reason why Louise keeps saying like, we're broke, you're not.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
And I think like that's why I'm like, the way to make both of these things work, I think, and to not make Louise seem really, really ignorant about something that she should know, is that there are parts of Ornas, like little individual items that are not part of the charter and wouldn't be a problem selling.
So does the charter only cover the things, this is like a whole economic history class.
Yeah.
The charter would only cover things that were there when the charter was formed.
More than likely. Like, you could probably incorporate new stuff into the charter as you add stuff on, but, like, anything that's... It's the idea, essentially, is assuming that Ornas is an FC charter, anything that is, like, legally a part of the property, like, all told, like, estimated value and all that, cannot be taken away from that, like, lump. Or like that, like collective of items.
Very interesting.
Because it's like it's basically a kingdom unto itself that can't just be like divided up without huge legal ramifications.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
The more you know.
Now, onto something a little bit more exciting in terms of like being less technical. Yantha also told us about another translation thing, which I didn't have time to actually write in our notes. So Margaret's going to be hearing about it for the very first time. So we get another. Yeah, I like the lead up to this, so I wanna read it out.
Please do.
I heard you picked up on the crush translation error. I believe it is the translator's biggest faux pas in season one. The translation quality is average at best. I understand it has to fit with dubbing and screen space, but some stuff looks like Google Translate to me. Example. In the scene where Simon comes home after the football match, Sarah says, "Why are you sneaking around?" Simon's response is something like, "He wants it that way." Whereas he really says, and then they list the Swedish, and directly translates it to, "It is for his sake," instead of "He wants it that way." The former implies it is Willa who is asking for it, but the latter means that Simon has understood the sensitive position of Willa and is making a consideration unilaterally or jointly. Quite a difference. There are also some interesting linguistic nuances missed in translation. The quality acting usually makes up for it, though. Yeah. I've lost Margaret. They're zoning out. I feel bad for any time we've slightly ribbed Simon for that line. And like the tone of it means that I don't think the English translation in the captions is entirely off, because he doesn't seem super, he's not psyched about it, although no one would be, but it's a situation of recognizing like I'm doing it for him, and I might not like it, but I get it. Which is the way we've always emotionally read Simon, but I think that one line has always kind of been similar to the crush line with Eric, like always been a little bit of a snag on my understanding of all of the aspects of the dialogue and my understanding of the character, and now it just smooths that out. So sad I didn't read this comment when it was actually sent to us, and that we can't go back and edit all of those bits where we rag on Simon. But this is what this episode's for.
I don't think we ragged on him too hard, did we?
No, we didn't. But like we brought it up more than now knowing how much of an error it is than it makes sense to, because it's like,
oh well, yeah, we're trying our best.
you read he wants it that way, and you're like, well, yeah, but it's like also. Now that you think about it, it's like we never see Villa actually asking him for secrecy. Simon has is just being a decent person and not saying anything.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
You don't edit that when I swear, right? I was thinking about that today. Oh, fuck no. Yeah. Okay.
Because every single one of our episodes has an explicit label on Spotify.
Oh, thank God.
It has to.
I was thinking about that when I was walking my dog today. I was like, oh, fuck me.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't bleep anything.
Oh, thank God. That'd be so annoying.
I mean, I say enough swear words too on here that we're where it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But goddamn. Yeah. These translations are really getting me. The last one really got me as well.
Yeah. Again, I almost cried like as always, like our Swedish listeners, like coming up when we cover episodes, like try to get at us.
Absolutely. Like, I'd love to see it.
As I said to those of you who did send us a DM this time, like I am bad at responding to our DMs because they're real. This and like that's part of the reason why Float exists is that like I do like collecting them all at once. I'm not gonna. I mean, and no one has expected this from me, but like I'm not gonna immediately respond probably when you send us something, but I will get to it eventually, at least by the end of the cycle, and then we have a moment like this where we're like glad we know that going forward, because I think it's gonna help us, like the next revolution, as is like
that fucks me up.
It's gonna be helpful to know that, and then
good lord,
honorable mention to the. I think we've mentioned this before, but like I can't remember if we've ever straight up gotten a list. Four allegedly non-straight monarchs of Sweden, King Magnus Eriksson the Fourth, Queen Christina the Seventh. Or wait, no, that's I'm reading that wrong. I think it's just King Magnus Eriksson, just Queen Christina, but like. Probably the only previous Queen Christina, because I think Christina is like Christina the Second in the show. King Gustav the Third and King Gustav the Fifth. So queerness of royals has of course never been acknowledged nor accepted. When sniffing around these monarchs, one begins to pick up elements which may have been inspirational to the series, where the writers just made a wink to history, like little Easter eggs. I get the feeling though the writers have a pretty good knowledge of royal history. So
swag.
And there might have been like two more messages now that I see that. Sorry, I was just distracted because Natasha, when you're listening to this, know that one of the most recent messages you sent came through while we're recording.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Hi Natasha.
It's about her excitement / fear for season 3. So it's like we're not gonna really read it out on the pod. But
valid.
Yeah. She is like, but she has it like in parentheses, being like, besides all that other stuff I said here, I want to like say this.
Hi Natasha.
Hi Natasha. So yeah, so looks like there might have been more to that message, but I didn't. That seemed to be kind of be eaten by Instagram somehow. So sorry about that, Yonta. But I read as much as I have on my end, and now we move to what Margaret and I. have now started calling Matrinos the Natasha segment, because Natasha, we love you.
The Natasha segment.
You send us notes for pretty much every episode, and it's enough that we're basically gonna have to cold read a lot of this. But we love it. Got to go all the way back to after December 22nd.
Jesus Christ. God damn it.
The moments when you realize that each cycle takes 3 months to produce. She starts off by saying she's a bit behind because of Christmas and didn't have enough time to listen to herself. Note. Natasha, I think in previous episodes we've just like defaulted to she, her pronouns. Because you don't seem to have your pronouns in your bio. So get at us with your pronouns in your DMs if you want.
Oh, yeah,
you
drop your pronouns in the DMs, please.
Yeah.
Because we want to be respectful.
Yes. So we're probably going to be all over the place in terms of pronouns, but now the audience knows that we're just kind of...
We're trying to cover all our bases.
We're hedging our bets. all right. But she's like... I didn't have enough time to listen to myself, so I haven't been able to listen for 2 weeks. And then it's like the like hands on the side of the face, like shocked emoji.
I love that.
Yeah. Which that just implies how regularly you you listen to us. And that's,
I do like that. That does make my heart feel fluttery.
I love our regular listeners, and I love our, like, our listeners saying, like, oh, I listened to this on the way to work, or like, I listened to this on my run this morning, or et cetera, et cetera. Like,
on their run? Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean the only thing about that I think that makes us bad for a run is that our length is super inconsistent. So, not super inconsistent.
Get at us if you listen to this while working out, because that blows my mind.
All right. Obviously, she didn't have anything about this week at Alershka this time. So, coolio. Here we go. Now we're on. So we're starting off with Revolution. About Eric telling Wilhelm to enjoy that while he can. I think Wilhelm is wrong about people wouldn't care about his love affairs, even if he was heterosexual. People always have opinions on royal family's choice of partners. But okay, Prince Carl Philip's wife was in Paradise Hotel, and she had some glamour picture published in a men's magazine. And Prince Madeline's ex-boyfriend made another girl pregnant while he was engaged with the princess, and her husband is not the Swedish people's favorite. He doesn't like Sweden, and he made her move to Florida, and he always looks hungover. Tea.
That was such a wild ride.
I know.
Wait a minute.
I know.
First of all, Sweden to Florida, rough move. Second of all, I couldn't think of two. First of all, very different climate.
Yeah.
Second of all,
politically,
Florida.
Yeah.
Politically as well. Jesus Christ. Florida, what are you doing? Anyways,
Florida is known as intense within the U.S. And the U.S. itself is known as intense. So, like, yeah.
Rough move.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine being like, I don't like Sweden. I'm gonna move to Florida.
I mean, it's honestly. If you want to escape the cold and you are a Swedish fucking prince, I think it's probably fine.
What part of Florida?
I don't know.
What was this guy's name?
The husband of Princess Madeline of Sweden. Again, if I had looked at this when Natasha sent us this on January 9th, I could have known about the Simon translation. She doesn't legitimately say that it was a translation error, but she does say like when Simon tells Sarah he wants it that way. Wilhelm didn't really say that out loud, but Simon of course understands that this is how he wants it, which is exactly what we've been saying. But like, it's in the text, and we didn't know. So
yeah, Fort Lauderdale.
That makes sense.
That does make a lot of sense.
Anyone not from the U.S. or doesn't know Florida lore. It just, trust us, it
look
does.
Look up Florida Man.
Yeah.
Just Florida Man, and you'll get it.
All right.
So that was our Florida tangent.
Yeah. Next up, this is actually very helpful, and I think we were like, we didn't know for sure, but I like that this direct answer, and there's not tons of like direct evidence cited here, but I trust Natasha. Wilhelm gets the news of Eric's death in the morning. They are having breakfast at school when Villa is texting Simon, and they go to their window immediately. In the sense, like, you know, mm-hmm. people know what I mean. Villa wants to decide what they will do ASAP, even if it's 6, 7 to 8 hours until they finish classes. While they leave the building, they are not leaving for the bus. They are going to class. That's why Villa doesn't have a bag packed. Because Simon doesn't have a bag either.
But he also doesn't have any books.
But he didn't bring any books when they were going to class the other time.
That's true.
Like, I don't know. Like, they're. I'm trying to think that through. But I guess, I mean, you could be like heading. Oh, considering where they are, they could be heading from Forest Ridge to the school building.
Well,
they'll grab their backpack from their locker, and then...
I get you.
I always forget those are separate buildings, but they have to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fucks me up.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I've ever put enough thought into it to...
Well, we were questioning why Wilhelm didn't have a bag, and we were, like, ragging on him for it.
Were we?
Yes. In Revolution. We were like, why...
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, why didn't he pack a bag?
Yeah, that's a good point. We were doing that, weren't we?
Yeah. But Natasha's got us straight.
Saving our ass day after day.
And then Natasha shouting out, being like, hey, have you seen the promotional photos for season 3? I'm like, yes.
Of course we have. I cried.
Yes. She's like, hi, of course, have some more comments to the PDTA episodes that I've been binge listening to after my Christmas pause, but I need to say this first. About the promo photos. All right. Now we are on to... the crush mistranslation that we brought up in Lookmore Royals. I hadn't read the comments to the video I sent you before, but when you mentioned them, I did. And one person that said they like to watch different translation to their favorite scenes. It struck me that I didn't even think to watch the Rog crush scene in English. So I did. And OMG, to use the word crush, why? Since it is evident, Edvin and Ivar themselves who are doing the dubbing, they should know that's not the word. I'm upset. And then corrections to some spelling, and then, ha ha ha, I'm so tired. So.
Me.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm mad too, honestly. If there's...
I didn't know that they dubbed it that way as well.
Oh yeah, pretty much every single voice actor...
I know that the voice actors are dubbing it. I know that the actors are dubbing it. I just didn't know that they used that. I didn't know that they said crush. They dubbed it as.
Fair, yeah. I think for the most part, I mean, it doesn't entirely line up, but I'm pretty sure if I've seen like the English translation and the dub are the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not the English you see necessarily, but I think the English, not closed captioned, and the dub are the same, from what I remember.
Gotcha.
I
have only seen one scene,
which makes sense because they wouldn't translate the entire show 3 times.
That would suck.
Yeah, but it's probably a separate thing where like close captions are potentially like, hired out or something, or like a different department.
Mm-hmm.
But then the translations, like legit translate, like just the language translations, are probably in-house, like different department.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also probably the ones who are going to handle the dub. So that's hence the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we said dub enough times so that it doesn't sound like a word.
Now says, okay, she did some research. She watched the Rog crush scene in other languages that I speak, to understand it a little, and I found interesting things. Italian dubbing and subtitle use uses fiamma, which means flame, i.e. crush. French dubbing use the word plan drag. I tear out French. I don't know what that means. Which means flirt, which I would say is more appropriate than crush. French subtitle use the word begin, which means crush. Norwegian subtitles use not even gonna try, which means darling / boyfriend / girlfriend.
Gender neutral term, love to see it.
Yeah. But I guess in that context, I think that's just like factually incorrect with what Villa's saying.
Yeah.
She's like, it's not serious. And then it's like, go to your darling. I mean, I guess maybe it's like less.
Go to your darling.
Yeah, I guess less definitively like we are together in a relationship, I guess, potentially. But
yeah. I think what I'm really learning here is translation isn't an exact science.
Oh, it definitely is not. But she keeps going. Because apparently she knows more languages. German dubbing uses.
Holy shit,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. We've already gone through? We've gone through Italian.
Okay, wait, we got Italian,
French,
Norwegian,
And
French, German.
German, yeah. German uses the word Verknight, which means twisted, which I interpret as crush. German subtitles use Schwarm, which I also interpret as crush. Spanish uses Ligue, which means flirt. Danish uses Frida.
Wait a minute.
Flirt. Ukrainian dubbing.
Wait. How do you speak all these languages?
It might not be fluently, but like she probably knows enough of them to. Yeah. Europeans are wild, dude.
God, I hate being an American.
Danish uses Frida, which means flirt. Ukrainian dubbing uses Kochanya, which means love. And now, the most interesting translation. Croatian subtitles use the word...
Croatian?
Yes. Use the word simpatia. I'm not even going to try. Why did I try? Which means...
That's okay.
Guy. So in Croatia, Bosnia, Serbian, they just think Eric knows for sure.
I'm blown away both by that last translation and the amount of languages you understand.
Yeah, for the future, especially anything translation wise, if you have more about that, include so we can talk about it in the next vlog. How many of these you actually speak fluently? Because the fact that we just like
can have we get a count of how many languages that was that you just rattled off?
Yes, though? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, and then no Swedish and English. So that's 10.
Holy shit.
Okay. Oh, actually, she says that languages I speak or just understand a little.
Still?
Yeah. The thing about Europe being a small continent means that so many countries are close together.
I mean, that's true.
Like, Britain is kind of unique for how... much that they're not multilingual, and they kind of pass it on to the U.S.
Yeah.
Not to say it's entirely their fault, but that U.S. is very monolingual. But
that's
to summarize: in the English-speaking world, in Germany, in Italy, in Ukraine, and people who watch Young Royals with French subtitles—not French people. Are you not French people? Well, French people with audio processing or who are hard of hearing. I will say that because I speak fluent English. I was an English major. I always use English subtitles. I will say that.
Oh, I need subtitles. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know what they're saying to me.
They will think Villa says Simon's not a crush in Norway too, but they might listen to what they say in Swedish and hear it's a mistranslation. In France, in Spain, in Denmark, they will kind of get it. In Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, they are happy that Eric died knowing his brother had a crush on a guy. Like, in the Croatian, Bosnian, Serbian version, Wilhelm is out to Eric.
We missed out.
I know.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. And then, again, Natasha, you never have to apologize, especially after you list how many languages you even know a little bit of, when you do a wrong verb conjugation in English. Like, I understand what you're saying, and I am a substitute teacher mostly for elementary schoolers. I can read between the lines.
This is just going to be like about an hour long episode, over half of which is me going to be in awe over Natasha's linguistic ability.
Maybe not be a full hour, but yeah, we've spent a lot on Natasha's linguistic abilities, and I do not regret it for a goddamn second. We love you, Natasha.
No, it's all worth it. Keep it all in. This is really, oh my god.
Yeah. All right.
Very swag. And then thank you so much.
Also, want to shout out. I want to be thankful to you about the fact that we mentioned that the very out of date coming whens that like versus when stuff got released, Natasha just said we are happy anyway ! So
thank you.
Yeah,
we're trying our best.
Yes. as mentioned in previous episodes that have been released, like this is our busiest section, like time ever as a podcast, and we're handling it with, I think, all of the grace we can of two people who for whom this is not a job.
Yeah.
Okay. And then a quick question that Natasha asked that I don't think we've ever formally addressed on the pod for anyone who is still wondering, that I think we've either mentioned that we would, then we haven't, or whatever. We never talked about the soundtrack of the series. I think it makes sense to have that be a type of episode in our season-wide cycle.
Yeah.
Wrap-ups. Because for those of you who, actually, I don't even know if we've said this on the pod, after the cycle for season one, episode six, we will enter the season one cycle about the entire season as a whole, which is going to have slightly different episode types and like will work slightly different and probably is going to be a bit shorter. Or maybe a bit more shorter. It probably be about the same length, let's be real. But like that is probably when we're going to do stuff that like wouldn't make sense to do an individual episode about it necessarily, to like drag out how long individual cycles take anyways.
Yeah.
Like, especially since like there's like maybe like 2, 3, 4 needle drops an episode, and then there's like the music, the like background music that's like written for the show. And like I think it makes sense to do that as like its own episode and kind of doing like highlights, because it's like, as much as we really do really want to be really in the details with it, like I honestly
sometimes you have to protect your sanity.
Yeah. And we love the soundtrack, but like not enough to like really think it, like it's an integral part of the storytelling, but it's not an integral part of understanding the story in my eyes. Like, in terms of, like, thematic and, like, plot analysis, like...
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is, like, most of the things we discuss on this show are... I'll bring a word I've previously taught our listeners and Margaret. It's... Everything we talk about is usually diegetic, in the sense that, like, it's what is in the universe. Art of the Frame is like maybe the only episode where we really talk about stuff that's like not stuff that you stuff that one or more of the characters would understand happened, because that's really what's more interesting to us than like necessarily the production of everything. Like, we want to acknowledge the art of everything,
right?
But I think we're probably only going to do like a highlight reel of our favorite songs from season one, when we finish talking about every episode in season one, et cetera, et cetera.
I agree. I think that's a good move. Yes. But it's coming, so watch out for it in...
Yes.
Eight.
And...
No.
Yeah.
9 months?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Or maybe 10, because we're taking most of March off, but yeah.
Maybe 10 months.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're taking most of March off, in case you guys haven't heard that yet.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, we talked about it in Purple and Orange at the very end. But
oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was just the bonus episode or if
it... Yeah, we talked about it in Purple and Orange and the previous bonus episode.
Okay.
Because so we're covering our bases. Next, Natasha says about episode 37, about current couples going to be married to each other. That's something I said kind of with my whole chest without really knowing it would be true. I'm not sure about that, though. Some of them maybe, but in Sweden in general, people tend to have more relationships and or sex partners before they get married, and I would say it goes for the upper class too. They sleep around a lot as well, both among themselves but also with people from the middle and working classes. Especially guys do that. Of course, some get married to their high school sweethearts, but most don't. Since Sweden is the most secular country in the world, there is no pressure from the church or even from families. A bit more of the upper classes than other classes, but our crown princess Victoria, for instance, she had a boyfriend for several years before she met her future husband. She was 25 when they met, and they were together for 7 or 8 years before they got engaged in 2009 and got married in 2010.
Oh. That's cute.
Yeah. Also, August knowing Felice for about a month, maybe he not got to know her at Hilarishka, but he had for sure known of her for longer than that.
That's a fair point.
Poppa and Smeeson are obviously known among the Swedish nobility families, and since they, according to Maddie, are one of Sweden's richest families, are well known in the coal country. Which makes sense of why Felice has such a big Instagram presence. It's like a...
True.
It's like a Paris Hilton thing.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. I mean, that's always, honestly always been my connection with Felice. like
Paris Hilton,
or like a Paris Hilton alike, like an heiress.
That's valid. That's valid.
Yeah. And this is an even older fortune, so probably even more significant. There's a difference between Swedish and American students when they start high school. First of all, in the U.S., you start the year when you turn 15, which in most places, yes. Some places start at grade 10, most of them we start at age 14. Ninth grade is 14, yeah, 15.
Like 14.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 13, but
yeah.
Summer baby.
Yeah, but she said, and here it's when we turn 16. And then there's a big difference between a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old, and Swedish teenagers in general tend to be a bit more grown up, not only because they are a year older than Americans when they start high school, but they also all are allowed to move around in society. At a very young age, we are encouraged to be independent. Not many kids do have a stay-at-home mom. Almost all Swedish children go to kindergarten from 5 to 2 years, because they probably have universal daycare.
Oh, that's a good point.
Or at least it's considerably cheaper. We would love to have that in the U.S., but not a single major politician wants to be up here openly supporting families.
Fuck! Goddamn.
Because it would
this
mean.
This is a political comment. I just woke up my dog. That was so loud.
Because that would mean government spending, and that's too much like communism.
Fuck.
The Cold War fucked us up, man.
Right. The Cold War fucked us up. That's why we have student loans.
Yeah. I don't think that it's icky that August hits on Felice, but look at it from the age perspective, because August as well, that is more problematic than the age difference. You know, that's fair. The age difference is the least of our problems.
The age difference is the least of our problems. It was just another straw on the camel's back.
Yeah, I get all of your points, Natasha. I think, and Natasha gets that, like, we're getting at this from our perspective. Like, in our perspective, it is, like, almost universally seen as, like, creepy in high school if, like, a senior, like, was, like, someone who's, like, 17, 18, is, like, going after someone who's, like, just starting there. Because the gap is a bit wider, but also just, like, it's, like, it's not totally frowned upon. Like, it can work, but it's, like, it's notable. Okay. I'm glad that Natasha, someone who knows this language, is saying this, because I've always been really uncertain about this. I mean, and then not to say this is definitive, but, like, I like this answer. About the luncheon being just for boarders, I always thought that August lies. We know he's in charge of the whole luncheon, and we know he's not planning to pay Simon the money, and we know that he is instead tries to pay him by being nice and lifting him up. Forehead kiss in gym, and then literally tell him that he's already paid him back by being nice. And so we know he's a calculating dick, so I would not put it beneath him to plan for the table setting just so he could be nice to Simon. We know that Simon runs after August, after the luncheon, August says, I fixed everything for you today, and think that Simon will settle with that and thinks that that would make him free of his debts. And, you know, I think we should really always consider the option that August is lying. And we have, but I think we've been maybe giving it him too much credit. Like, I think he's just a fucking liar. And I think that should just be our official
just a fucking douchebag.
I think that it should just be our official take that, like, he's just a fucking liar.
I agree.
All right. About writing in Sweden. These are all from today, because I very smartly was like, hey, last chance to get your flot in. All right. About riding in Sweden. Riding is an expensive sport in Sweden too, of course, but it doesn't have to be that expensive. There are a lot of riding associations who have horses where you pay for lessons and where you can take care of your horse without owning your own horse, even though Papa doesn't get that. I would guess that is how Sarah learned how to ride, let's say, at Bjarstad's riding association. You can also be a co-rider if you know a horse owner, like Herod, like Sarah with Rousseau. Like legally, I guess. About Simon and sheet music. Sweden has, and have for a long time, for maybe about 50 years, a municipal music school where it isn't expensive to learn how to play an instrument. Here, where I live, it costs $30 a semester. I think it didn't cost anything when I was a kid, or very cheap, while Sweden still was very social democratic, to take classes, and you also get to borrow the instruments. Not pianos and drum sets, but instruments you can carry. So Simon would have been able to take piano classes since it isn't a class thing here. I guess the reason he didn't is that he already knew how to play piano because Mika taught him, as you said, and that he plays by ear and didn't feel it was necessary. But you were right. It used to be a class thing here too, back in the days.
Interesting.
So yeah, so that makes sense to me with, again, Sweden just having so many more social programs than we do.
Yeah, like the Swedish government actually caring about people. Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the inner workings of their government, but it seems more than the U.S.
And like she said, as we mentioned before, like, it has become less social democratic, apparently, as across the world, more right-wing interests have pulled it more capitalist. Mm. But there's at least a lot more built up. Like, all of our social programs come from the one time we pulled ourselves out of the global Great Depression. And enough people
Like 100 years ago?
And enough people realize how beneficial those specific programs were that we haven't been able to get rid of them. We have been able to defund them. So, at Social Security. Anyways.
Yeah. This is really a political commentary about how much the United States sucks.
I mean, that's just an angle on our podcast, maybe. There's apparently a elementary school with the choir profile, which means you can have music or choir lesson every day. So,
wait a minute. It's a preschool, you say?
It's an elementary school.
Elementary school?
Yeah.
That's focusing on... That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Then about Henry and Walter. This is all about privilege punishment, by the way.
Okay.
Well, and then this last one is, and then we have another purple orange. About Henry and
Walter. Is this still from Natasha?
Yes, always. The rest of this is going to be from Natasha. Love you, Natasha.
I'm currently updating my Instagram so I can go follow Natasha.
Henry and Walter are speaking about their parents, that their parents were dating when they were young. Walter says he has no idea, and Henry says he knew because his dad recognized Walter's last name. So, wait. Henry's...
The only way I can think about this is gay.
Wait, yeah.
The only conclusion my brain is drawing is that Henry's dad dated Walter's dad.
Okay.
And I don't think...
Henry says he has no idea. Walter says he has no idea... Yeah, that is okay. This is confusing because Walter says he has no idea. Henry says that he knew because his dad recognizes Walter's last name. Unless they like all knew each other, I guess. Like all of them knew each other. Like
that would make sense.
Or you like, especially it's a small enough circle. You know their married name.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like not always, but I think in a circle, is in circles this that you know their name. About Simon and Villa going to Simon's house. I think I read this before. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yep. Directly after that, they go to the stairs. This is about the end of the episode. Since it is morning, they should have for class. In Sweden, at that time of year, that time of day, the sun is on its way to rise. Another context for the fact that, like, it looked, to us, it looked like at the end of the day because of the lighting. But to a Swedish person, mm-hmm. it's very clearly like sunrise. I knew it was breakfast too, but I think I've always thought it was like, oh, it's Saturday and everyone's heading home, et cetera, or whatever. But also like that makes sense of all the like little groups of people, like, oh, they still have class like before they head
yeah,
home.
And also why would Simon go there on a Saturday?
Well, he was going to stay there.
Well, that's true.
But also, never mind. Also, then people would have been weirded out by him seeing him at breakfast too. So, and no one comments on it. So, we really should have put that together. But you know, it's a lot of logical leaps, and we don't have context. So,
and sometimes logic is hard.
Yeah. Okay. So, look, Natasha's slightly leaving us hanging, but I don't think she, she might think she is, but I don't think she is, because she says she needs to follow up on the specific question. But she, like, looking at, like, potentially where the location they filmed was, she thinks that it's possible they filmed at sunset, which would make sense when, like, we're reading it that way. Mm-hmm. But she's like, but I think it's meant to be the morning.
Gotcha.
And so she's like, I'll see you. See if I find someone to ask, but that again, this was sent today, so yeah,
love to see it. You don't have to ask for our sake.
Yeah,
it's okay.
But she's going to anyways. It's because it can be for her sake.
That's true.
And then basically, I told her after that, I said this morning. Or like today, I said, "Forgive the silence, Natasha. With floats coming up, I'm finally getting to all of our DMs." She said, "No need to apologize. Since the DMs mostly concern float, I don't really expect interaction. But you have to forgive me for the tsunami of DMs." And then it's the Sino evil monkey emoji.
It's nothing to forgive. We love to see it.
And I said, haha, it's all good. It gives us more stuff to talk about in the only bonus app where we provide none of the material. So
true.
And the only other thing is her thing about season 3 that we're not going to say on air. So.
Ew.
All right. That was a lot. I think that might be our longest flot. Because
I think you're right.
We had stuff to discuss, I guess. But.
And I think it's also the float. I haven't felt terrible
after. Well, because we've gotten on a hang of this enough that I think that none of these are really corrections in a way that it's like, oh, you got this wrong. It's like, oh, did you know about this like one like little this other, actually, also other translation error that, like, helps you understand the story better, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Like, our listeners are really so supportive of us going on this journey. And I really hope.
Yeah.
Voicing a fear here that I hope people don't think I'm being weird about saying this. I hope you guys stick with us after season 3 is over because we are just getting started. So I only hope this podcast gets bigger after the show is done its entirety and people can watch it in its entirety, and then they can have a companion podcast. Yeah, but.
And keep listening to us on your way to work and
to us when you can listen to us. We're going to try to be as regular as possible. It's honestly hard sometimes to get out weekly episodes, but at the pace we're going, we really think it's important to get as many episodes out as we can. So, all right. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other Potter-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram. That was probably very mumbly. Sorry, guys. Or our threads at People Don't Talk About. We can't say what our next episode will be. That's not really true. We'll see you with This Week of Hilarishka, season 1, episode 4. And then I think the companion bonus episode for that will be about Young Royals Forever.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
I think that makes sense as well. Are we committing to doing a Q&A? On our Instagram story?
I completely spaced that. Look out for a story from us on our Instagram of a Q&A to try to keep interaction with you guys during our hiatus.
Yes. It's going to be one of those, like, ask boxes in our story. We're going to both be answering. It's going to be a good time.
I think that's a good way, because we considered a whole Q&A episode, but it's like, again, as stated in other episodes, we do not want to be doing work while we're consuming the show, season three. So, and
yeah, but just getting yeah. on being like my favorite or like popcorn little things. Or whatever.
Yeah, might. And also, I trust y'all not to be weird, but like, make sure that stuff that we could answer in a public feed, like, we're, what like
yeah.
We're still fairly private people. Like, we mostly want to keep it related to the show. But if you're curious about the odd thing that we're that you think we'd feel comfortable answering, you can always ask, and we might just ignore it. But yeah, we wanna keep up the interaction. So look out for that.
Yeah.
Probably, not the day of the Young Royals since season three comes out, but maybe afterwards. In between that and the season finale. Seriously. Yeah.
Well, certainly, my first day of work is the day that the new season comes out. So day is going to be
no
a trip for me.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Probably like the morning after
how much I'll be able
season
to...
three drops. Well, actually, the morning after the day that season three drops, and then you know.
Yeah.
People get it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Or Wednesday. For people who across the international dateline,
Tuesday or Wednesday.
All
right.
With that being said, and all that, and with yeah,
I think that's all.
And with
left to say
and is. With that, all that's left to say is, let's start a revolution, baby.